Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 7 o'clock. Donald Kavanagh at the news desk. The long-awaited riverine project is set to go ahead after the special EU programmes body confirmed €16.7 million for the initiative, which will link Strabane and Lifford. The 30-acre project will see the development of a shared park, a pavilion, an adventure play area and a footbridge. Last year, a previous tranche of EU funding was lost when a foreshore licence couldn't be secured on the Lifford site in time to meet the deadline. However, once that was resolved, permission was granted in both jurisdictions earlier this year. West Tyrone MP Orla Begley is hopeful that work can begin very shortly.
This says that over the line, the announcement today from SEUPB that €16.7 million has been allocated towards the riverine project is hugely transformative, and it's icing on the cake for the North West region, which we have had substantial funding from the City and Growth Deal, and it's building on the back of that. This will be transformative for the people of the Lifford and Strabane area, and indeed the wider northwest region, and it's to be welcomed by everyone today.
Police in Derry are seeking information about two attacks on women in the waterside. At around 10 o'clock on Friday evening, a woman in her 20s was walking in Drumahoe Park in the city. She was attacked by a man carrying a knife. She managed to break free and run for help. Just before 3 on Saturday afternoon, a woman in her 40s was walking her dog at top of the hill park in the waterside when she was also attacked by a male carrying a knife. She called out for help and swung a dog lead at him, prompting him to flee. Chief Superintendent Gillian Carney says they're looking into the possibility that the two incidents are linked.
Detectives are investigating the possibility that the attack in Drumahoe on Friday night is linked to the attack at the top of the hill area on Saturday. Police responded very quickly to both these reports and conducted searches. Unfortunately, at the time, a suspect was not identified.
The Gaelic of Inishowen Municipal District says he's sick to the stomach after the Buncrana Leisure Centre was not included in the latest round of sports capital infrastructure funding. Councillor Jack Murray says the criteria for application specified shovel-ready swimming pools were being prioritised, and Buncrana was only one of two applications he believes to meet that standard. He's been speaking to council officials who were very confident of progress and says neither they nor the wider community understand the rationale for Buncrana's rejection. He's calling on the government to explain that decision. Meanwhile, the Letterkenny Regional Sports and Activity Hub has received €8.7 million in funding. When complete, the hub at Knocknamona would include a GAA pitch, 5-a-side pitches and a pavilion centre comprising a spectator stand and other spaces. ATU has already secured planning permission for the complex. The Irish Aviation Authority won't be allowed to impose a cap on passenger numbers at Dublin Airport next summer following a ruling by the High Court. A temporary stay on restricting seat numbers has been put in place following legal action by a consortium of airlines, including Ryanair and Aer Lingus. With more, here's Frank Greeny.
In 2007, a cap of 32 million was placed on annual passenger numbers at Dublin Airport as one of the conditions for the construction of a second terminal. And as the airport continues to get busier and busier, a plan was put in place to restrict numbers next summer by roughly 1 million. As a result, lawyers for Ryanair, Aer Lingus and several US airlines went to the High Court looking for an order to put a pause on that plan pending further legal action. And today, Mr Justice Barry O'Donnell ruled in their favour. In a statement, Ryanair's CEO Michael O'Leary described the cap as idiotic and said today's ruling paves the way for the matter to be referred to the EU courts, where he is confident, he says, that the 2007 restriction will be removed, enabling airlines like Ryanair to continue to grow traffic, tourism and jobs in Ireland. Frank Greeny at the High Court.
The Taoiseach and Defence Minister Micheál Martin has appointed Senior Counsel Michael Delaney to conduct an independent post-incident inquiry into the death of Private Sean Rooney in Lebanon in December 2022. There have been a number of reports prepared by the Defence Forces, the UN and An Garda Síochána in relation to the incident, and the Department of Defence says this inquiry will consolidate these into a single report. The Department of Defence says areas may be identified which could highlight lessons learned and where changes may be required in the tactics, techniques and procedures adopted by the Defence Forces for overseas operations. weather forecast. A few clear spells tonight, but cloudy for the most part, with patches of drizzle and mist. Lows temperatures 8 to 10 degrees Celsius, in light to moderate east to southeast winds. Mostly cloudy at first tomorrow, with just some isolated patches of drizzle. Rain arriving from the west through the afternoon, becoming more isolated in the evening. Top temperatures tomorrow 14 to 16, in light to moderate southerly winds. That's Highland Radio News. We're back with local news tomorrow morning. First bulletin is at 7. In the interim, we'll have regular national and international updates. But for now, from the news team, check all of today's news, of course, on our website, highlandradio.com. But for now, good evening.
There's bingo every Monday night at Halfway House Burnford. Doors open at 7.30 with eyes down at 8.30. €2,500 must go. The snowball is now €2,800 on 45 numbers or less. If you're not in, you can't win. That's Halfway House Bingo tonight at 8.30.
Do you need help to make a healthcare complaint? Breathe easy. You're not alone. Established 5 years ago, the Patient Advocacy Service is a free, independent and confidential service that can support you to make a complaint to a public acute hospital or a nursing home in Ireland. We also offer support in the aftermath of a patient safety incident and work within the framework of the Patient Safety Act 2023. Call us on 0818 293 003 or visit patientadvocacyservice.ie.
The best businesses never stop beginning. So whether you're starting or growing your business, we want to make it easier for you. At Bank of Ireland, our faster, easier online loan applications help your business take the next step. Search Bank of Ireland Business Loans. Bank of Ireland. Begin. Lending criteria, terms and conditions apply, over 18s only. Bank of Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Get the right tools or equipment to get the job done with great hire deals at Watson Hire in Letterkenny. Everything from diggers to power tools, dumpers to portaloos, and pressure washers to cherry pickers. Watson's offer a fast and reliable service. To book, call Watson Hire in Letterkenny on 916-7777.
Highland Radio Time Checks, brought to you by Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid. Airgrid, powering up communities, powering up Ireland. The time is...
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love till 9pm daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Check this.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now live on Highland Radio, back via the podcast. Joe Dex producing here as ever. I want to thank Ivan Borland for the power hour, plus of course Donald Kavanagh for the news there on this evening's show. Coming up shortly, we want to speak to Irish news journalist, the great Neil Lougher, and of course we have GAA legend himself, Peter Canavan, on the line as well. He'll be joining myself and Porrick in studio here. We're going to talk all things Ergo Kieran, St Unions, and a bit of look across the Ulster Club Championship. Then we're going to look at the intermediate and junior. Gary McDade will be joining us to run an eye over the competitions from the weekend. And then Maureen Donald will be on the show to look back at the ladies' Ulster Championship.
Seven teams.
We're down to two. A double blow for the tournament. The
first question before, you know, you try to give me a hug. Are you all right?
Well, I'm just out of casualty. Yeah. The wee lad bit the top of a firework there, so it was a bit of a panic in the DeVee house. At fair play, was always giving off but casually. But when you have a baby there, you go straight in. But he's all right.
Yeah, he's good. But suppose after the weekend, Brendan... What a game of football on Saturday night. We actually got a game of football.
Listen, I always thought it would be Ergo to come and play, and so do we, you know. And listen, we'll tease it out with the boys. I suppose you have to mention the hurlers as well. Bert, up short in their
and
game.
And Buncrana as well.
And Buncrana. Listen, Bert, only a couple of points in it.
Very little, huge
layoff as well. It's like a different season they're going into, you know. It's tough.
It's probably, you know, better how to prepare for that, you know, but a layoff sometimes, look, if you won, it's great. If you could beat, you'd be thinking it's different, but look.
Yeah, listen, it's a big season. That's a young Bird team. Listen, they just had to get back and win a championship. Of course, Setanta were dominant, and then that puts that levels it out, but I'm sure Sittard will be coming at it again hard next year.
And no more than the Donegal Football Championship, that hurling championship, it's getting more spicier. You've Unions, you've got Satanta, you've got Burt, and you've got other teams coming. So, you know, it's unfortunate from a Donegal point of view that they're out of the Ulster Championship, you know, but club championship. But again, look forward to next year.
Yeah, that's it, folks. So listen, the big game of the weekend, of course, was St Unions travelling up to Errigal Kieran. And so I'm delighted to be joined by Peter Neal. Lads, how are you?
All good, thanks, Dave.
Good lads. Thanks a million, Peter. Obviously, Errigal Kieran, man, your boys are in there representing club and county with distinction. What was I seen you briefly after the match? There, you were doing a bit of babysitting. Your initial reaction after it was I think it represented probably Errigal Kieran's season, wasn't it, Peter? It was toing and froing right up to the end.
Aye, fair enough. You would have seen a few of our games, and virtually, well, all of our games have been decided in the closing seconds and the closing minutes, and it was no different on Saturday night. I would say, looking back and having watched the game again, I would have no doubt that St Unions will be feeling that they left the game behind them. They were a point up at half time, having played again the Breeze, and with Niall O'Donnell to come into the side, it looked good. And there followed about a 15-minute spell where St Unions had plenty of chances. They went ahead. They could have went 2, 3, 4 points ahead. There was a number of wides came at that stage from a St Unions point of view. And our boys were just hanging in. They were just hanging in the game. That's all they were doing. The threat up front was well and truly nullified between Dara and Marie. They only scored a point from play. And we were struggling. So it took a bit of grit and determination from our boys just to hang in there. And they won a few important turnovers near the end to close the game out. But you're right, it's been the story of their season so far, really.
Mm. And then, what did you make of it, I suppose, where myself and Peter were invested, I suppose, you from a neutral perspective, what you made of the game, and you know, a lot of people seemed to enjoy the football that was played, even though it was a 12-10 game.
I thought the second half was class, like just opened up, and really, you know, first half was probably what you would have expected. It was a bit more tense first game in Ulster, and you know, neither side really wanting to totally commit. That said, I mean, as Peter touched on there, St Unions would have been more than happy getting a point up, because Errigal, I think it's maybe 6 or 7 wides at the half time. You know, they looked a lot more and the penalty, of course, yes. The missed penalty. Like, and those in tight games like this, those moments, you know, become huge, because that was a 4-point lead, and then all of a sudden, within a couple of minutes, that, you know, it's only 1 point, because Shane O'Donnell then kicked into gear. And in the second half, I think you just saw a bit more ambition from both. Maybe you saw a bit of the tiredness as well from Errigal, you know, from their exploits in the previous week. That's something Eamon McGinley touched on after the game, you know, and he said that was something that we're maybe going to have to look at ahead of, you know, this week and preparing for Cargan on Sunday, because they just, like, from a neutral perspective, as Peter said, St Unions maybe came away feeling that they'd left it behind. And if you were looking at either team as being in any kind of measure of control, you would have said it was St Unions as it was heading down towards that kind of last quarter. Like, whenever Shane O'Donnell scored his last point of the game, which was obviously the point of the night, sensational. And it's the kind of score, you see those scores, like, they're nearly worth 2 points, because, you know, it really gets everybody, it gets the crowd off their feet. It gives their own team such a lift. And, you know, but yet you have to say, you know, like Errigal have done the whole way through Tyrone, they just didn't, the heads just didn't go down, just kept at it, got back within a couple of minutes. And then when you're talking about composure and clutch moments, like Ben O'Donnell's second point, you know, was sensational, because at that point, like, that takes a bit of cojones to take that shot on, you know, and that was really the catalyst, I think, for Errigal coming back and putting St Unions away in the end.
Yeah. Peter, I suppose, having seen all these comebacks for Airgill. I suppose, as Neil said, first half there, you know, really it should have been Airgill and to the fore. If that penalty had went in, I think it would have given them a big platform in the game. But it was saved, and in the second half, Unions just couldn't get that 2-point mark. Did you think, Peter, with it staying with that point back the level and point, did you always think the finish would come? Is it remarkable, I suppose, as Neil was saying there, after the exploits and the you know, how busy they've been this last week and that they came so good late on as well? Would you thought there'd be more Unions time to expose a wee bit of tired legs?
Yeah, definitely. And if they had went 2 or 3 points ahead, it could have been a different finish. But the fact that there was always a point in it, absolutely, I always felt Airgill were capable of finishing strong, but there was a tiredness to their game. The Trillick game, there was much more bite about them. They were sharper in the tackle, and that wasn't evident. That wasn't evident on Saturday night. And apart from that opening 20-minute spell where they played some very good football, I thought, and created some really good chances, they just didn't put them over the bar. So, no, a point down at half time for the football that they had played, you know, some good football in the first half, I thought a point down was a poor return. And I had a good look at Niall O'Donnell at half time. He was out getting ready to come on. It looked as if he was doing a fitness test, Brendan. It didn't even look as if he was doing a warm up. Would I be right in saying that it was up in the air whether or not he was going to play at all?
No, he was all right. He was away. You see, and he had a bit of a knock before he went as well. Funny, I was chatting to you about going into your final as well, and when you assess the thing, you know, these games just always seem to be so tight in the first half. So really, there's going to be level or a point either way. And we happened to be a point up, which maybe was a bit lucky. So it looked prime then for him to come in, you know, because he was away travelling and that. And at that point, I thought it was good. I felt his positioning, for whatever reason, he ended up a bit deep. I was just chatting to Gary and Porrick there. You know, the point that he scored, I thought, was where he needed to be in the pitch, and that's how dangerous he is. But for whatever reason, and you get that way, I guess maybe when you come into the game, you want to get on the ball, you end up coming deep for it then. And I think, if anything, from an Airgill's perspective, that's where you would have liked him.
Absolutely. He did handle a lot of ball, which was worrying in itself, but a lot of it was outside the 45, and Eddie McCurry, you know, didn't dive in. He was happy to let him have it in solo and jink without really hurting us. But you're right, he would have been a bigger threat probably inside. But likewise, you know, Darren McGrew was very quick to close the centre down from St Union's point of view and to prevent quality ball going in. Well, Niall Kelly was doing the same for us and making it very hard to get good ball inside. So maybe he felt just to get on the ball, he needed to drift out a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and Neil, listen, your assessment now, you look across things, I suppose, in the scape of Ulster and the teams that are coming into it, and I'm always amazed at this line that you hear about a big team getting beat and things is wide open. I would think, like Newbridge and Derry, if they beat Glen, then why would you take them lightly? Now, I know, obviously, experience is vital as well, but the teams that are in that now, and sometimes also way out west here, we wouldn't have a lot of info on some of the teams across the county, but of course, or across the province, but of course, you're looking at, how would you assess Airgill then going into this Carrigan game, and of course, you know, couple of big sides across the moor and Kilcoo and Scotstown with that experience going into Ulster.
Aye, well, I mean, on the Airgill side of the draw, it is a huge game on Sunday. I really think Carrigan are really ready for it, and you know, they've shown in Ulster the last couple of years, and you know, those games against Glen, and you can just see them closing the gap, and you do see that with teams as they progress in Ulster. Like, I mean, we would have seen in down with Kilcoo. Like, Kilcoo were in Ulster, competing in Ulster for 5 or 6 years before they really started to make a dent on things and actually become a bit of a force there. So it doesn't happen overnight. Like, I know people look at Cargan and their 8 Antrim titles or whatever in the last decade, and you know, think, well, I should have never, they haven't done anything. But like, those things do take time, and I've you know, Airgill coming in off the bat, like, this is going to be the third big game in 16 days. It's a huge ask, like, really is a huge ask. So I think that's going to be a real interesting game. I, you know, to be honest, there's a few unknowns in there. As you said, Newbridge are an unknown. Clannern I saw in Armagh a few times and was very impressed with them, very impressed with their power, their directness, you know, the Tiernan Kelly and Brian McCambridge and Conor Turbutt, and you know, there's so many other players there as well who just are driving them on. I still have a slight feeling, Brenton, for Clucu, because well, they're going to be on, I would imagine, I would predict that we'll be looking at a Clucu Scotstown semi-final, you know, and last year Scotstown edged Clucu. Like Clucu were 5 points up, I think, with maybe 5 or 6 minutes to go. Like normally, if Clucu are 5 points up on you, that, you know, it's lights out. There's no chance. So like that'll have stung them. What happened last year? Roy Beggan scored an absolute wonder score at the very end to win that game. I just have a notion that they, you know, especially maybe with Glenn gone, that they'll really, really, really relish this. But they're missing a couple of key men too. Like Ryan Johnson's out. Dylan Ward has never come back from Australia. So It's as open an Ulster, I think, as we've seen in a long time, to be quite honest with you. There's 4 or 5 teams I think, you know, would conceivably, you know, would not be surprised to see them finish up winning it.
Yeah. And Peter, what's the mindset of the club now in Ulster? Because I think the whole Ulster's fascinated by their own championship in particular, and, you know, all the games are on TV and it's only knockout one, and everybody's engaged with it. You know, everybody I talked to, he's talking about the drone championship, how hard it is to win. So does that, in terms of playing week on week in those big games you're saying and now getting ready, can it be a drawback then coming into Ulster? Obviously, you know, as Neil was saying there, look at the long it took Clucu to make the mark. So you know, you have experience in it, recent experience, but the championship, the Tyrone championship, could you say, now I know the lads won't count that, but is it a bit of a negative how quick and fast the games were in terms of now going into Ulster?
Well, there's a couple of things. For starters, like it has been, to back up Neil's point about needing to play in Ulster club for a few years before you get up to the speed of it. Like it's, what, over 20 years since a Tyrone team has won back-to-back. We've had so many winners. And then our own system maybe doesn't help us, whereby, you know, you have 15 league games and the league's taken very serious and Tyrone. Yes. So come this time of the year, a lot of the teams in our league is still going on, by the way, as well. It doesn't do anything for the team that comes out of Tyrone. The games week on, you know, it's, I don't mind it when I was playing, and we had plenty of Ulster club campaigns where literally we did play every week. When you're fit and not carrying any injuries is brilliant, but if you have a dead leg or recovering from an injury, it gives you no time at all to prepare for it. So, and you had the celebrations and all the rest after winning a county title, but look, that's gone now.
You didn't celebrate enough, I think, Peter.
That was fair, but done, Brad.
You're away for 2 weeks. What are you on about?
We've no excuses. We've no excuses for the Carrigan game. That's for sure. And we'll not be using it as an excuse if Carrigan turn us over. But I think Neil's assessment is fair enough. Most people would be predicting Clucu v Scotstown in one semi final, and nobody has a clue who's going to be in the other half of the draw.
Yeah. And Neil, just on that balance, you know, and seeing it from the inside lines now, you've so many things to juggle. I know a couple of Ergold boys were away on holidays and that there, and people, you know, we've had that situation as well. But, you know, what, particularly with county players that you have, you know, how do they, when do they get time? What do you do? And you can't restrict people from going out and having a bit of cut down. Or obviously they've got partners and that need a break. And with the county getting so serious now around training, you know, we've had a couple of situations no more than Big Langan coming back for the semi-final and so because he couldn't miss anything with Donegal, so you've got this kind of scenario where you're like, you hear the news and oh, I'm away or this lad's away, and they're obviously pivotal players. And for me, looking at it, coaching the team, you know, to get the best in a training session, you need your full team there, you need everybody out. And you know, particularly if you're talking some of them key men that you know are integral to your lines and your playing. If you're playing, any kind of backs and forwards or tactical game, you need your starting men in there, if you like, you know. So it's very difficult to marry them things now. I don't see that getting any easier. I was talking to Greg earlier. I would say at the minute, looking at St Eunan's preparations would have been above what Donegal's would have been when I was playing. And I think if you have a decent club team, every county season now seems to be going a certain level. If you have a decent club championship, it's a long, long year to fit everything in, you know.
I mean, it's a tale as old as time, isn't it? Really, you know, it's you know, obviously we're in the split season era now, and the point of that, I suppose, was to alleviate the load on players, and also to, you know, to give the club the prominence that it was, you know, due for so long, and haven't been squeezed for so many years. But then the difficulty you have when you come this time of year is that, so the counties have been given a deadline, or you know, are told they're not allowed to train collectively until the 7th of December. But like we all know, I mean, there's some Ulster counties that have been training for 2 months and more. You know, so like,
who are they?
So I'll say no.
Yeah, flat out.
You don't have to really train away.
I was just thinking, there's no more 36 waist required anymore.
No winter.
You can't get fat. You know,
it's a shame.
To be you, 36.
I used to love that when you went there.
You've been trouble now with the tight jersey. Said Peter, you never carried any weight, Peter. You always wintered well.
Thanks, Brad.
Surely. But Peter, just on that, Enda McGinley, his impact in the club, you know, good friend of mine. Funny, we were texting away after he's won it and that, because I was joking with you, and thanks very much up in Canavans, of course, there, up in Gervahi, looking after us. Good place to stop for the grub coming through for all the Donegal folks coming up and down the road there. But does it mean chicken
last week? You didn't come up to us last week, Brent.
We didn't. Is that all he's given, chicken curry?
We're afraid of getting poisoned. I tell you what, them boys, that's what got us through it. A couple of cold nights in Gervahi.
I wouldn't give them Eunice boys chicken curry. Huh?
Canavan's curry. We even had beef stroganoff one night in the menu. I told the boys that's all they were getting, and there was a row about it. That's how much Canavan's curry was high up the agenda. But Peter, and I, as I say, it was strange because we were about to play each other, and we were being quite honest, texting about, you know, how you're going and how things are. And listen, I have so much respect for him. But to have someone like him stepping in this year, Peter, huge, obviously legend at the club, respected, but obviously he's done his coaching as well. So, you know, he's a man that could take many county jobs. So a massive part of his success.
Yeah, well, he has been with Antrim and he has been with a few other clubs. But most importantly, he would have managed this group of boys Dara's year, actually, to a county title a few years back. So he's worked with a lot of these lads already, and apart from what he's done on the pitch, you know, as you say, thoroughly respected by everybody in the club here. So he's done it on the pitch, but he's also doing it off it, and just very similar. You know him very well. When he was a player, he was very thorough, he was very well organised, and what you seen is what you got, Randy. He gave it everything on the field of play, and he's no different after it. He has assembled a good team around him. Again, a lot of those men that was with him with the club minor team are still there now. He has kept a number of men that Mark and Adrian would have had in the management team in the previous few years. He's kept a few of them on too. So it's, you know, it's a lot of homegrown men in there doing their best for the club. And again, there's nothing magical about it. They just work very hard in training, and he expects very high standards from his players, and so far they have certainly delivered.
Yeah, they have indeed. It's been a great season so far. Peter, I'm not going to ask you for an Ulster winner. I know it's a difficult one, Neil. I'm going to ask you to pick one. I think I know who you're going to go for. You're going to go with the old dependable, are you?
Well, I think I am. I think I'll go with Kilcoo. But like as I said, I really genuinely there's probably five names there like that. I just would not. I think you could stick a pin in it nearly. Like, but I just think Kilcoo have the smarts and the know how, and also the hunger after last year.
Yeah,
Yeah, listen, top class. Lads, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Peter, I'll be up for the old smashed avocado and eggs there someday. And some more
menu, Peter.
Oh, yeah, hey, listen, top class.
Was the big shock, Peter, that was St. Eunan's and not Letterkenny Gales turned up to play you there last night?
I wasn't going to mention that.
I was waiting on that.
I wasn't going to mention that.
I would like to take the credit and say that was done on purpose to wind the belly up. I can assure you, it's a few other clubs and Donegal thought that was the case. It certainly wasn't.
Peter, you didn't know that Gary was a
guy. My apologies, my friend.
No, that's all. Hey, listen, these things happen.
Took the Glen Swally man to
should
spot.
Should have sent Gales up, maybe.
Took the Glen Swally man to spot.
He's always stirring. Listen, lads, thanks very much. That was the voice of Gary McDade. You're going to hear him now after this break. We're going to talk more ball. Peter Kenneth and Neil Larhan, thanks again.
Thanks, lads.
Cheers, folks. Cheers, lads.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Donegal County Council are proud to present the Europe Direct Soapbox Public Speaking Competition, taking place in Central Library, Letterkenny, on Thursday, 7th of November at 6:30 p.m. The topic for this year's soapbox is AI is not a threat to humanity. Contestants will have 3 minutes to argue for or against the motion. There'll be a 16 and under and 17 and over category. The winners in each category will receive a fantastic prize on the night and will go forward to the national final in Dublin at the end of November. If you would like to take part in Soapbox 2024, please email eudirect@donegallibrary.ie for an application form. Donegal County Council, serving the people of Donegal.
What's gravity? When does the grass grow greener? Can people with longer legs jump higher? How are plastic cups made? How filthy are our parents? Which ingredients make the best slime? Why do we dream? Are you faster than a calculator? Could a robot be powered by fruit or vegetables?
Kids are full of curious questions. ESB Science Blast, delivered by the RDS, empowers children to investigate the science behind simple questions just like these ones. Find out how your school can get involved at esbscienceblast.com.
Coming in from the cold or sharing good times with loved ones, Zip is always at the start of a good time. Long-burning and powerful, Ireland's number one high-performance all-purpose fire lighters are perfect for those moments that warm your heart as well as your home. Made in Ireland. Give your fire some Zip this winter.
Is the appearance of your staff important to your business? It's the first point of contact for customers when entering your premises. At C&M Embroidery in Letterkenny, they have a huge range of clothing covering all areas of the workplace. It's widely known that customers warm to and trust employees that present themselves well. Have your company name embroidered or printed on all your work uniforms. Contact C&M Embroidery on 07491 28097 and get your staff looking their best.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Yes, folks, welcome back again. We're going to continue with the football talk. Say, Gary McDade's in studio with myself and Parik here. Gary, you were up in Healy Park watching a couple of games, obviously the Termin game and the Unions game. But, you know, we're still, before we get off the Unions subject, your assessment of it?
Yeah, listen, probably, I'm sure yourself and the boys are sick. Like, it was usually a better team in the second half, you know, far the better team. You know, I was for sure that you had it. And as I was saying to you outside the studio there, you were one up in the 61st minute, so you were. And then it was nearly reversal of the county final. You set the three in injury time, went down low, pegged it on use, and reverse this time. Errigal hit the three in injury time after that. You know, first half was probably a lot of turnovers in both teams. It was tidied up definitely in the second half. I think a big thing in the second half as well, Niall Kelly was kind of dropping back on Sean Patton's kickouts in the first half. Darragh McGrew was kind of dropping back on Errigal's kickouts first half. Both of them pushed up and made the game even better in the second half. So it did. Both of them actually pushed up as well and made it more entertaining. I thought Sean Patton, his kicking was really good at the weekend. Eric pressed and tried hard, probably a lot harder than used to have been pressed throughout the whole Donegal Championship. But Sean did really well, so he didn't give. That's why he is the best at what he does.
Some of his kicks were
and I thought his penalty save you know, down low, his left hand, you know, it was sublime. So it was. I thought Aaron Deeney, the job that he did in Darragh Canavan,
yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. You know, probably for you, from your point of view as a management team, you know, you just probably thought, you know, I'm just reading, thinking what you, trying to think what you should be thinking. You're probably thinking, right, we tie down Darragh Canavan, try down Rory Canavan, we'll not be far away here, boys. Mm. We put the shackles on Peter Hart as well, which Tobin did really yeah. well. Now, but Deeney, like, he tied Darragh Canavan up. I know Darragh's coming back. People might say he's coming back from a shoulder injury. Maybe kind of looked once or twice, went down to scoop up the ball and didn't get it. I was wondering, was it the shoulder was keeping him back? Morrison, unreal, and Rory. So he was like, that, there's two good and man markers yeah. in club football in Donegal at the minute. Like, I thought the first half, the two Canavans looked really lively. So they did, and their skill level looked really well. They were anonymous the second half. So there were the two boys just really got on top of them. Shane O'Donnell, I remember Peter was managing Cookstown, so he was where he teaches, against our boys in McLaren final when Shane was in sixth year. It was a draw in the athletic grounds on St Patrick's Day. Shane got man of the match. We played the replay under lights midweek in Celtic Park. Went to extra time. Cookstown beat us by a point. Peter was in charge of them. Colin McFadden was in charge of our boys. Shane got man of the match again. And I remember Peter saying afterwards, it's probably the best ever individual performance he's seen from a player back to back in two games running. And it reminded me, Shane's performance the weekend of those McLaren games, it's as good as I've seen him play.
It was like a 10 out of 10 there
before. It was so good.
Like, and even kicked the point of his left, which he doesn't do very often.
Yeah,
so he does.
Yeah, his left isn't bad now. He kicked one for Donegal this year as well. Maybe from a tight angle, left hand side. But yeah,
but probably like what I kept looking at Errigal is like the Cormac Quinn picking him up, who's one of Tyrone's best man markers. You know, and he's obviously Errigal's best man markers. And I kept waiting for it. Right, he's going to change it, but they didn't have anyone else. I thought in the second half they struggled with your forwards. In a man-to-man battle, they really struggle because of the talent that you have in the forward line. I think they really struggle. I think you had them, like, you know, they were gone. I could see it. They looked leggy in the second half, so they did.
If you look at players like that, you know, Shane, the athleticism, you look at him, you know, particularly, suppose, like, obviously you're always going to mention Murr, but, you know, you talk about the modern game now, it's the sheer power. You know, when you stand with them guys, they are athletes, like, to another level, and that's when they move around the pitch. They're so hard to take. You know, it's kind of, if you look at the inside men, as you said there, you know, you can tie up inside men, there's only a certain amount of balls going to come in. It's a tough place to play. I was even saying to Owen McGeehan about it, you know, inside there, to for you get into a position to feed the full forward line with players dropping back and lines and all that. It's more, for us anyway, it's hard running, it's punching holes. I mean, you fellas, like in Shane's form, like it's tough for him not to come out on the right side, like, because he was absolutely head and shoulders.
Best individual performance I've seen in a long, long time. You know, just the balance that Shane, you know, he's the athleticism is one aspect, but by God, he can play football, you know, and we're lucky to have him in Donegal because, you know, what he brought on Saturday night was just evident of what he can deliver.
Yeah, big season ahead, the rules and all that. We're going to be excited about that. Tell me, Gary, the game before it, very, very strange match. Tierman, Derry Long. Tierman and his, they were rank outsiders, but they didn't live up to that in the first 10 minutes. It was an unbelievable start.
Yeah, they were 1-4, or sorry, 4-1, and Derry Long were 1-4 before the game. And, you know, 1-4 to no score, 10 minutes on the clock, and my gosh, you thought they're nearly home and home so they were at the time. It was me and him, and Brennan was up in the press box, and you know, it did look as if, like, geez, they're far too good for these boys. Like, how did these boys win the Tyrone Championship? And then all of a sudden, Derry Long steadied themselves, got a point, and, you know, I was talking there about the job that the two Deeney, or that Deeney and Morrison did. The two O'Hagans probably tied up Terman's two sharpshooters. You know, like Darren McDee, the two O'Hagan brothers at the back, Colm and Kieran, they tied up Enda McCormick and Darren McDee, who had 7, 15 and 25 points between them.
Yeah, huge.
You know, to tie the two of them up, Terman then were probably going to struggle to get enough to score. Like, and they went, I was counting up, I think they went 45 minutes without a score between the 11th minute and someone like the 57th minute. They only got 2 points in that period there. So they did, you know, there was a huge area where they didn't get enough scores. And that came back to haunt them really late in the game, because struggled with your man, Thomas Kearney, inside. I thought he was excellent.
He looked a handful, that lad,
You know. And
Did he need to double up on him?
And they had, you know, I was writing in my notes at the time, Cormac Brady was, Ricky was on him, and Ricky, well matched athletically and strength wise to him, but could have been doing way a bit of help. Like, Cormac Brady was probably free. He's kind of playing as a sweeper, and could have maybe have been giving him a wee bit more help to tie up Kearney, because, you know, he was the man that was causing the damage, and they just looked to kick at him the whole time, you know. But Tiernan probably had the youth and the legs in them. You know, their centre-half forward, Fergal McAlisky and Danny Ball, 12, and I think it was Sean Robinson at wing-back at 7. Like, the three of them were 35, 36, 37. So they were, and your man Kearney's even 29, 30, so they are. So, like, Tiernan definitely had the legs and the energy in them, and probably, but like, Unions will be a bit sick, you know, they'll see it as an opportunity lost.
Yeah, yeah. And what was the feeling there, Pat?
Suppose, you know, you're going at half time, seven points apiece, 1-4-7, and suppose you get that start, and we had a chance.
The first 2 points in the second half?
Yeah. First two points, John James got after 30 seconds, and then Jack got another one, you know. So, coming out, you know, you got the response. You thought, right, you could see it was, I suppose, from where we're looking on, you could see, as guys pointed out, you know, there was lads there that you thought, we have the legs in these, you know, but it just didn't materialise. I suppose using that little bit of craft that Derry Loughlin had, and, you know, long ball and looking for Kearney worked, you know, and that was something. But I suppose we had a few chances in the second half. We give away the ball maybe at key times, Brendan, but you know, that's Ulster club football for you. And as the game grew, so did Derry Loughlin. They grew with confidence. And but again, it just comes down to those key moments. You know,
it was a tough game for your two sharpshooters. You know, in terms of the scoring that they had for your season, was it a? I suppose in Ulster, you know, you're going to be watched. They're going to be the levels go up. You're going to have good man markers. Teams sitting in trying to negate your strengths.
And that was when you felt the runners from deep coming. Would it really affect that scoring aspect, you know? But look, Jamie tagged on 2 points, you know, just if we got another one or two out of Hammond, maybe you just have to be prepared for that, because if you're going in, if you're a management team sitting down looking where you're going to nullify a team, obviously it's going to be that inside threat. And I suppose, you know, you have to set up, but other players have to step up as well, you know, to come out of that one if you are. And look, the lads will learn from it.
Division 1 next year.
Division 1 next year, back at senior. Yeah. So,
It'll be good. Division 1 will be great preparation for the championship then.
Fantastic. And look, and the thing about it is, the lads had their goals this year, and that's what they wanted to get out of the Division 2 and out of the intermediate championship and into the senior, and they've done that, you know. But they'll be disappointed, as Gary, I mean, we were talking about, there were seven of those players that played in the minor final a number of years ago in Ulster, and, you know, making that transition over, we felt, you know, they had good experience, Brendan, you know, and carrying it in and getting a start. Start's always the important thing, but it's just, as Gary's indicated, is that period when you don't score, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. Tough place to be, lads.
I think Brendan, from weekend, is you kind of touched on a wee bit to Peter earlier. We should have given him a touch maybe when he was in line. We hear so much about the Tyrone Championship. It's so good and so great. And I actually left Healy Park thinking, you know, I think I'm with Saturday night. I says, our championship's better than that if that's the best team they have.
I don't think it's necessarily now the team, it's more the play. You know what I mean? It's more, but it's nearly this myth
that's built up about it.
I think it's more the actual the excitement of it rather than
it's the knockout. No, I do get it, because
that's why you never have back to back winners, because
it's something I do like about it. It's not, you're going to a game, you have to win. Gone, and that's, you know. So there's that excitement part of it.
I think we have nothing to fear in Donegal. Any of our clubs have nothing to fear, because Tiernan and Unions could have both won those games. Yeah. And it wasn't as if, you know, they were well beat or anything like that. Both of them could have won the game. So, like, our championship, you know, is up there with the best of them.
Yeah, let's hope it continues. One group of men that are flying the flag, Niamh Padraig, Ishka Keane, the men from Muff marching on, beating Conn Gaels 12.
Johnny Toy once again.
12-8. Listen, David, some season you're on about the league there, playing Division 2, obviously it's been a huge
we've seen them
bonus to them guys.
In the final, they were fantastic. Then, and then by all accounts, like, they were 8-3 up at half time. You know, there was only really going to be one winner, I think, in that Ulster game against St Comgalls. And look, good performance by the Neve Patrick Ishikeen men once again. And as I say, they're going to be a handful, you know, in this Ulster, and really looking forward to see what they do next.
Brandon, that's Antrim champions. I never heard of these guys.
Never heard of them either.
This team, College Land, they're playing next.
Armagh. I had to look it up on Google Maps to see what it was. It's just south of the Moyne, Tyrone.
Well, I'm sure they wouldn't hear too much about Neve Patrick Giller, but they're making their mark. And I tell you what, we were saying it that day, like, there's definitely no reason for these guys to fear anything, the way they're set up and how their conditioning. You know, they were top class. They look like a proper senior team. And I'm not taking anything away from the level they're playing at, but I'm just saying they had that look about them, their shape and how they played and how they were tuned in and playing to their strengths, of course, in terms of they didn't need any goals in this game. Now, they've been good at getting goals, but listen, we're going to wish them all the best in that semi. I wouldn't mind seeing that game.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and Parag touched on Johnny Toy seems to be having the season of his career. So yeah, as you know, I'd have worked with him for a wee while in the under-20s. Just a real good personality and just a good character. He's a real leader, you can just imagine, within that change room. And I remember Michael Murphy managed the ATU, actually played in goals for Michael Murphy. So he's actually one of those lads who'll just play wherever he's needed and contribute massively in the scoreboards. And just probably a wee worry for them. They'll be lucky. They're glad, I'm sure. They've 2 weeks. Keel McColgan, their star man, went off injured at the weekend, and the fellow, Brent, you're always praising all year, Big Lynch, never started either and never came on, I don't think. So
I don't see his
injury
name
injury yeah. as well.
He had an injury, that's right.
That's their two of their key forwards, you know, and they would need them for the semi-final, you know.
You'd be hoping they would be right, because Lynch was brilliant throughout the championship in Donegal, and you know, it's definitely getting into a semi final. You need your two best players in the pitch.
Yeah, difficult one. All right, lads. Listen, we wish them boys all the best in their quest for an Ulster Junior Championship campaign. Folks, we're going to take a break, and after the break, we're going to speak with Maureen O'Donnell, and we're going to talk some Ladies Football Championship.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Every Tuesday morning on Highland Radio, we'll be joining Freya and Colm for Claris the Car, as we catch up with them for some Can Chuggas crack on the way to school.
This Tuesday, they will be chatting about Cactan na Snawa, agus be Jashagov, where couple of Fakal Isaj Freshen. So be a Gilling, Majin Jamarch, and Shaw Air Highland Radio.
Dogu Dostashun, Highland Radio.
Clare Sakhar, Arna Wienu, and Commission the Man, Leshantalia, Cadenish Telefisha.
Amazing offers now on at Chadwick's. Check out these heavy-duty deals. Makita 18-piece mega kit, 6 power tools, batteries, fast charger and accessories worth €2,000, now an incredible €1,399. Or the DeWalt 18-volt impact driver with power stack battery and Stanley toolbox worth over €200, now an amazing €135. Visit your local branch or shop online at chadwicks.ie. Chadwick's.
Let's get it done!
For all your pharmacy needs, visit the new Brennan's Pharmacy in Letterkenny, now open at the Fort Retail Park right across from the new Dunn Stores and Costa Coffee, with 600 free parking spaces in a convenient location. We're ready to help with all types of prescriptions, medicines, pharmacist advice, vaccinations, plus an extensive range of skincare, vitamins, gifts and much more. Can't make it in? We offer local home delivery within 10 kilometres of Letterkenny, perfect when getting into town is tough. So for all your pharmacy and prescription needs, trusted advice and friendly service, come to the new Brennan's Pharmacy Letterkenny. Call us at 074 970 8060. We're here for you.
Every visit to the Virgin Media Playhouse brings amazing offers. Like 500 meg superfast reliable broadband for just €35 a month for 12 months with no activation fee. And that's just for starters. Discover more at virginmedia.ie and switch today. Virgin Media. It's playtime.
T's and C's apply. See virginmedia.ie. Subject to location and availability. New customers only. 12-month contract. 500 meg broadband. €70 thereafter.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Yes, folks, welcome back to the DL Debate. We're just having a quick chat. All-stars. Oisín Gallen and Paramogan, we didn't forget you.
Absolutely.
I had this all written out, and of course the panic, my pre-show panic, left everyone behind me, but brilliant individual awards. We had a few nominated as well.
We did indeed. The two lads, as you indicated, picked up the award, and also there was Cian McColgan. McGonigal, I should say, from Buncrana, Ryan McHugh, Kilkiar, Brendan McCall from St. Noel's, Sean Patton from St. Unan's, and Michael Langan as well from St. Michael's. They were all nominated. Brendan Knight for Donegal, you know, and I suppose for Patter and also for Oisín to pick up the award, like, you know, playing inside in the full forward line. Look, Oisín was unbelievable this year as well. Yeah. Patter was outstanding, like some of the stuff that he was up to throughout the campaigns.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Phenomenal as well.
Two top lads as well. Hey, I'm delighted for the two of them. Hey, and it's great for Donegal. It was a great season all in. Maureen, are you listening? Maureen, that looks cosy there. If anybody's on the camera there, what a backdrop. I love it, too. That looks cosy.
Makes me feel.
That's Terman for you. That's Terman there.
You get the pizza. The pizza on.
We don't do things by half down here.
Fair play. Mo, the good news, the bad news. Will we start with the bad news first and then we'll get to the good news? Maybe your own crew, Terman, get into this with high hopes of another assault in Ulster, but the scoreline, I think, for any of us looking in when the news came through, we were, I suppose, amazed, you know, whatever about the conceding 2-14, but the 5 points scored, what happened?
Yeah, it's funny when you're listening in the game and you hear a score and you hear there's 15 points between the sides, you think, oh my God, such a tanking, and like it really, that's how it reads to the listeners, but when you're there you get a totally different perspective of the day. And really the way I can sum it up, and which is frustrating and heartbreaking from the point of view that the girls have been training all year, is that, and this is not me sugarcoating it by any means, and like Lurgan were very good yesterday, to be fair, you got to hand them and give them credit where credit's due, because they put in a very good performance out there. It simply was that Terman didn't show up, and I guess you could say that has happened now for a second year in a row. And you know, like, I talked to a number of the girls after the game and just heartbroken, and I think just frustrated that, you know, they didn't turn up in the day and things just didn't go right. They didn't get the rub of the green, and then you have the fact that Lurgan never really gave them a chance to play. I suppose they went defensive against them as well, so made it difficult for them to get scores inside, and, you know, maybe didn't have a plan B in that coming out around the day to score, Brendan. So, you know, 15 points is a massive score, and you haven't heard the term that he's been beaten by 15 points in a long time.
Yeah, it was definitely a shock. So it was just one of those days. I mean, you get them every now and then. I just think with this Terman team, obviously, you know how strong they are, and just their pedigree in the Ulster, you're just hoping for another big year. And it just, I suppose, as you said, a wee bit of soul searching now for what happened on the day.
Yeah, maybe soul searching now over the last 2 years. You know, you got to look back, I suppose, towards the semi final was the day before against Ariel Cairn. Same kind of form on the field, and like 1 year on, like, you've got to ask a lot of questions. Is it because maybe the standard of football that we're playing in the county, or a team like Terman is playing in the county, isn't enough? Do you need to be looking outside the county to go for more tougher challenges throughout the year? Now, that is not me saying that the standard, you know, within the county, everybody's doing their best to get up to the standard maybe that Terman's at the minute, and it's a credit to a lot of the teams out there as well, Brendan, for that. But when you look at a team like Terman, they have 6 current county players, 6 former county players, 2 minors, you know, that's a team that should be seriously competing, and we haven't got to an Ulster final since 2019. So, you know, we lost out just by 2 points that day to Dunamoyne as well. So it is frustrating, and I guess there is a lot of soul searching to be done now, like, how do we get better? How do we get better in Ulster? You know, I mean, we're looking across the board at the men's teams too. Like, they're competing well in Ulster, and they're big names. And, like, when you hear the Terman ladies in Ulster, Lurgan ladies are in their first Ulster final now. So they're making history big and into the Ulster final against Clannair. But like you, that's why you're shocked, because you've heard how good the Termin ladies are, and you know they they're able to secure Ulster titles and All Ireland titles and bring it back to the county. And as you say, a very, very good and experienced team and a very talented team there as well. So why are we not getting to the finals, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, I can hear Coach O'Donnell coming in there, maybe.
I have enough of my plate. So,
I don't want to go into this type of talk because I could back myself into the corner. Never mind you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, that was obviously the bad news of the weekend from the ladies, but of course the good news is Downings are in the junior.
Barney's winning matches.
Final. Yeah, Barney boys at a time. We'll have to get them on next week. Playing Warren Point, of course, they beat Oneroo the weekend there. Huge victory for them, and you know, an Ulster final. It's some place to be. Fair play to all.
Yeah, listen, look, I'm delighted for Downings. I'm delighted for Barney, and you know, he's co-managing there with Dominic McGruddy as well. So, and there's a huge amount of work going on down in Downings. And listen, from the point of view of everybody else in the county, get behind your team, you know, the team that's flying the flag for the county now at the minute, which is Downings. And like, I watched them on Saturday and I was hugely impressed with them at home. They got off to a very slow start and it took them a while to settle into the game, but again, their first outing out in Ulster, like, so, well, their second outing, but you know, they beat Butler's Bridge well by 3 points the week before, a very, very tight game as well. So they're getting a flavour of what Ulster's about. And again, Oneroo were a really polished and a really good side, and they really put it up to Downings in the first half. Downings were behind by 3 points. They brought it back, and then they went 4 apiece just before the break, and then Denise Doherty got a goal to put them 3 points up going on the break, which was brilliant for them, you know. And as Barney said, it really settled the nerves because they were very nervous. You know, I guess you're playing your home pitch and there's a lot of people out to support you, and the nerves were showing in the first half, but certainly in the second half, they really brought it to Oneroo, and, you know, they had a lot of chances that they missed, so they could have been a lot further up. But again, the experience of Shannon McGruddy came in at the end. She harried about the field. She worked hard, tirelessly throughout the field, and then she put over that point that put them one ahead at the end, you know, and I think there were 62, 63 minutes on the clock towards the end, so it was pushing on. And then at that stage, Avon O'Connell, who was their midfielder, really impressive game. She was their player of the match, without a doubt. That's not taken away from anybody else in the field, because they were all impressive. For junior players, it's really positive within the county. They played really, really well. And Avon O'Connell, poor Avon O'Connell, picked up an injury towards the end of the game, and they were holding on by a point at that stage, so she was devastated to go off. But they held on for a point, and it was fantastic to see, and I'm delighted for them, and I really wish them the best now against Warren Point. I really do think that they have a big chance now, Brendan, as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Mo, and listen, we wish them the best. Course, don't know we're there last year. Tony Boyle still aggrieved about that. I know it was a game that they could have won. So listen, we're back in the Downings ladies and the lads there, McGruddy, and of course Barney and all. Listen, we wish you all the best in 2 weeks.
They're out on the 16th, Brendan. 2 weeks, Saturday, yeah. The 16th.
Saturday, 16th. Get out and support them, the same as Niamh Patrick. The Muff men, we get behind them as well. Listen, Mo, thanks very much as ever for rounding up there. And that fire needs another... There's another couple of peats.
Get a bit of coal there.
Get it sorted. Get it sorted. Hey, stay cozy. Listen, Mo. Thanks, Mo. I'll be speaking to you later.
Thanks,
we'll get a chat after this Downings game. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll chat soon. Okay.
Take care.
Bye,
take
Brent.
Care. Yeah, that was Maureen O'Donnell there.
Welcome to the Downings ladies. Big victory for them.
Hey, huge. Huge, boys. Huge. The All Stars guy, did you think anybody maybe could have, from Donegal, could have got in there?
Yeah, well, probably, you know, we're talking there a wee bit. I thought Kiel McGonigal probably had his best ever year.
He's a real,
you know,
he's a real tank in the centre. Yeah. I mean, going back he was brilliant, because we were struggling to get a 6 week, you know, for years.
Yeah.
Suddenly he just went down and he was like at home.
And a huge loss to Buncrana then in the championship.
Right,
so he was,
right,
you know, he would have been a colossal for them as well.
Was
teaching the loss when they got the call going home now. He's back in Scullwara and Buncrana now. So big loss to
somebody. Somebody finds a position for boys to get right.
you can just remember the runs that he was doing from deep, like, you know, carrying possession.
And he's such an individual player on the run, because he can take tackles while he's soloing.
And kick the ball over the back.
He can go on a run, and he just seems to hold the man off, and he goes and he's away.
He's just off the field, he's a gentle giant. Just such a good lad, so he is, you know.
Yes, yes. Listen, all you school teachers are gentle anyway. I mean, from my day, when we used to get battered around the college is this great tranquil place now, I'll tell you. Very different from my time, I'll tell you. We're not going that one. We're out of time here nearly, boys.
Mr. McDade would be good crack, I would say.
Mr. McDade, you've a game coming up.
Yeah, the under 14 and a half boys are in the Ulster quarterfinal, Brendan, Thursday at 12:30. So they're playing against Downpatrick, so we wish them all the best for that.
Yeah.
And I suppose in our week in Derry, still have no manager, so that's good.
Yeah, somebody would have to get a dig before
you're getting
a
phone call, Charlie. You two boys aren't up to much.
We'll get the shout. They only need 100 grand for us. This is Stay Tuned for the Monday Night Sessions. The two boys are lined up and ready to rock. Throne man outside here, he's smiling away, look, he's pretending he's working. Folks, I will speak to you next week. We'll continue the Ulster Club season. Joe Dex, thanks for producing. I'll speak to you all then.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Live, on air, online.